I work for Microsoft. I'm from the Seattle area in Washington. This session is called Fully Integrated Azure Resource Manager Deployments. What I'm going to do here is really just kind of look at Azure Resource Manager templates end-to-end from creation to deployment, and in doing so, talk about the benefits of using templates, kind of show my workflow, show some of the tools that help create templates, and then along the lines, we're going to actually deploy an application to Azure or create a template that'll deploy an application to Azure. And I'll talk about some of the dependencies between resources, and we'll kind of look at the application that's being deployed. So agenda, we're going to talk about Azure Resource Manager, we're going to talk about templates. And then when we look at the application, we're going to talk about compute, availability and scale, access and security, and application deployment, and how a template allows us to, kind of the buzzword is infrastructure as code, how a template allows us to model applications and achieve all of these things. So before jumping in, though, just to kind of size up the audience, who is using Azure right now? That is awesome. Who's writing Azure templates? Okay, so less hands, that's cool. So hopefully this will be valuable. Of those that are using Azure, are you focusing particularly on virtual machines? Let's just get hands on like virtual machines as the primary workload. Okay, cool. So a lot of this session is focused on virtual machines. However, that is not the only thing that we're going to look at. We're going to look at how templates can be used across multiple different services. And while the examples, a lot of times we'll be looking at a virtual machine specifically, the things that we're going to be talking about, in the templates, parameters, variables, dependencies, are definitely not virtual machine specific. So Azure Resource Manager templates apply to much more than virtual machines. It just so happens to be that that is part of the example that we're going to be looking at here. And really the goals, I want to demonstrate complex deployments using templates. So we're going to go way beyond Hello World. We're going to go way beyond deploying a simple virtual machine. Like I said, we're going to deploy a virtual machine. We're going to deploy Azure SQL. We're going to, I'm going to show you how we can craft a template so that I can deploy multiple virtual machines without having to specifically statically define all those machines. I think one of the biggest, takeaways from this session is just going to be seeing my workflow or seeing kind of the tools that we have that we can use to create these templates and just kind of the understanding that, I hate to say it, but that there is a learning curve here. Templates aren't just something that we sit down and kind of copy and paste. We are dealing with code here. It's JSON. All the rules of JSON apply, but there are certain things to understand about the structure of the JSON when deploying resources in Azure using Azure Resource Manager templates. So that workflow, understanding kind of the guts of the JSON, big takeaway. As I said, because we'll be deploying virtual machines in Azure SQL Database, we'll look at some of the dots between connect the dots between some of those resources, but really see how those dots connect within the templates themselves, and then we'll show an end-to-end solution. Now, what I'm going to do here is really kind of show like what is a template, how to deploy them, but then we're gonna create a template from scratch. I'm going to open up Visual Studio blank, and we are going to like start going end-to-end. That said, the solution that I'm going to be deploying, and I'll detail that solution, I do have templates available already, so if you like what you see and you want to kind of dig in deeper, those are available on GitHub. I threw the address up here. We also have some documentation that we're publishing around this. I'll show you some of that. And it's the exact same example that, so can be used later for reference if you like what you see. So like I said, I'm just going to jump straight in. Before talking about templates, I want to talk about Azure Resource Manager. Who's familiar with Azure Resource Manager? So it's about the same amount of hands that came up earlier. I won't spend a whole lot of time on it because it's, we talked about this a lot a couple years ago because it was brand new. But it's not brand new anymore. It's been around for quite some time, so it's almost becoming, the standard. But several years ago, we were deploying resources into Azure using something called Azure Service Management. And then Azure Resource Manager was released, which is a whole new way of deploying and managing resources in Azure. The easiest way to think about it is kind of we create groupings of Azure resources, and we store them in something called an Azure Resource Group. And what I mean by groupings is I might have a virtual machine and the network card that's associated with it, and the network, and a storage account, and an Azure SQL database, and maybe some other resources that are all kind of related to create one solution. Well, instead of having these as just, you know, disparate resources floating in Azure, I can organize these in a resource group, which is, I mean, just think of it as like a folder inside of Azure, and we'll take a look at this. A cool thing about resource groups is that I can manage them independently, secure them, tag them, but what I like most about them is I can also just delete the resource group. So as you're developing in Azure, you're going to be doing a ton of deployments. You know, all right, did that work? Nope, it failed. I need to go back. Well, let me just delete that resource group, which is going to delete all the resources within it so that I'm not being charged and whatnot. When we're building Azure Resource Manager templates, we can deploy the template to a resource group. So it's again, kind of just deploying to a container or a folder. And I already kind of mentioned it, but when we start building these templates, the template language is JSON. And there's really no tricks about it. It's just standard JSON. So you can take these templates and like put them through a JSON linter to validate that, you know, your commas are in the right place and that your structure is valid. And we'll talk about that quite a bit more. So when we look at a template, and let me just back up real quick and talk about my slides and my demonstrations. I'm going to burn through these slides. We've got 1 hour. This is going to be mostly demonstration. So everything I'm talking about here, we're going to circle back around on and look at actually in practice. So when we talk about these Azure Resource Manager templates, there's a couple things to understand and a structure to them to understand. So the basics, I've already mentioned it. They're written in JSON. We have Visual Studio integration. We also have some packages for Visual Studio Code that help us form the JSON. You can write them in Notepad. However, I've found the best experience right now is in Visual Studio, and that's where I will be doing most of my work from today. I'll show you some other options as well, but I, you know, there's a lot of benefit in using Visual Studio. Beyond just basic JSON, though, there's a couple things I'm really excited about showing that kind of take this from Hello World to like a complex deployment. We have these things called template functions. So just put that in your back pocket. We'll look at a couple. VM extension integration. Is anybody familiar with Azure VM extensions? Couple hands. So these are cool, and I'm actually doing a session on just these tomorrow. This gives us the ability to deploy stuff into Azure, like a VM, and then come around after deployment time and run scripts or other configurations on top of it. So and we'll talk about that more in this session. And then cross-service integration. And one of the things I really want to stress, and I've already kind of talked about it, is that these templates are definitely not just VM-related. And not only are they not VM-related, they're not just one service-related. So within Azure, we've got all these services. Virtual machines, storage, networking, Azure SQL database. Well, today I'm going to build a template that kind of crosses all of those and deploys resources from all of those and configures them all together. So we're about to jump in and look at some templates, but there's just to kind of throw some terminology and set the stage for what we're looking at here. There's four basic sections to an Azure Resource Manager template. We've got parameters. Think of these as user inputs. So if I'm deploying a VM, a Windows VM, I might want to be able to define a username and a password so that I can log into that VM. So parameters are basically user inputs to the template. We got variables, which store data that we'll use later on in the template. So maybe I want to have like a connection string that I use several places in the template. I can store this in a variable. Again, a variable is not something that the user can modify directly. However, if that connection string ever changes, instead of having to go search for the five places that it's defined in the template, I can just change it in the variable, and then that, you know, trickles down through the template. Resources. So resources are things like virtual machines, network cards, virtual networks, Azure SQL DB, and then finally outputs. So when we're building a template, we can also define some output stuff. So like if I'm deploying a web app, and some of the, you know, the address is created dynamically through the deployment of the template, I can, you know, output the address once the template's been deployed so that the user deploying the template can just kind of like, you know, copy it out and have that. I'm not going to focus too much on outputs in this session, but those are the four sections to a Azure Resource Manager template. I mentioned functions a little while ago. These are awesome. I'm excited to show them within the template. So what functions are is just like functions in scripting or whatnot. So we can create functions in our templates to do things like to upper, to lower. So for instance, an Azure storage account has to have a name that's in all lowercase. Well, if I'm consuming the name through a parameter and a user enters an uppercase letter, my deployment's going to fail unless I capture that and modify that. So we have, you know, a very simple example of a function would be to lower, so where I can take the input and then make it all lowercase before we go on through the deployment. That's a pretty easy one. There are some complex ones, and the one that we're going to look at mostly today is called copy index, and we'll just talk about that when we get to it. And then finally, something that I'm going to stress throughout this session is resource dependencies. Because we're creating a template that's going to deploy a bunch of resources that need to work together to host an application in Azure, there are situations where we're going to want to build dependencies, like my Azure SQL database needs to be deployed before my virtual machine because there's a dependency on those. So we have the ability within our templates to define these dependencies, and we'll take some look at those. So like I said, I was just going to burn through this stuff, and we'll talk about it once we get into the templates. Now let me talk a little bit about the solution that I'm going to be building and deploying. What the solution consists of, and again, you know, the goal here is to host stuff in Azure. In this case, we're going to host an application in Azure. Specifically, we're going to host a .NET Core application on an Azure virtual machine with the database for the application in Azure SQL database. So it's actually a service. So we're not going to have SQL installed on a virtual machine. Rather, we're just going to be using Azure SQL database. I want to deploy this app in a way that it's highly available and scalable. So the first thing we're going to look at kind of from the example is the compute pieces. And this is the virtual machines and the SQL piece. So again, I've got the application, the web app, on a virtual machine, and the database in SQL. The next thing we'll look at, and we're going to kind of build this template, instead of just kind of starting top to bottom, we're going to start with compute. Let's get the virtual machines and the database up and running. Then let's talk about how to scale this thing, make it highly available, and make it such that we can scale. In order to do this, we're going to put the VMs behind a network load balancer. So this way we can deploy multiple of these VMs. They're all hosting the same web app, and as traffic comes in, it's routed to one of the VMs. So I can scale this application out to meet demand. Likewise, if one of those VMs dies, I still have multiple copies of the VM running to serve the app. We'll also be looking at something called an availability set. So I've got my compute pieces deployed. It's highly available, and I can scale it. Now we need to talk about access and security. So I need to present this app on the internet using something called a public IP address, and then secure it using something called a network security group. It's basically like a firewall. So these are all resources that we're going to create and configure in an Azure Resource Manager template. And then finally, we're going to install the application onto the VMs and create the database in SQL. And we'll use an Azure VM extension to do this, basically a PowerShell script. But the point is, at the end of the day, we've got a template that does all of this for us. Not only does it do this for us, it does it in a dynamic way. So when I start this template, I can say, hey, I want to start with 10 VMs. I enter 10, and it's going to configure all 10 VMs for us. Or I enter 3, and it configures 3. And it configures the rest of the stuff up and all the dependencies, creates the database. So basically, I hit go. 15 minutes later, I have this application running in Azure. And that is the benefit of templates. It's creating infrastructure as code that we can deploy in a repeatable fashion. And there's a lot of things you can do with this. I actually gave this session a couple weeks ago, and somebody in the session was like, so you mean I can develop all my applications in a template, and then my customers can just deploy them when they need them by clicking a button, run through their scenarios, and then delete them when they're done, and then 5 days later when they need them again, deploy them again. And that's absolutely the use case. I have kind of several different roles that I fill at Microsoft, but doing presentations like this, doing research, that's exactly what I do. I have all the environments that I need templatized, and I deploy them when I need them, and it's literally click a button, go to lunch, come back, work on them, and then delete the resource group when I'm done. So that's the application that we're going to look at. The first thing, like I said, we're going to kind of chip away at this. The first thing we're going to do is deploy the compute pieces. So the virtual machine, Azure SQL database. There's a couple different components involved, but really I think I'm just going to jump into a demo. And before I actually start creating the template, I want to step back, really kind of step back again and kind of look at a couple different things. Like, let's look at a template, let's look at some of the ways we can deploy templates and just kind of get the background out of the way, and then we'll step into actually building a template. So I talked about resource groups. If we look at resource groups here in the Azure portal, we can see some of this stuff. And actually, I pre-deployed the demonstration that I'm about to walk through. So let's just take a look at that. So I've got a resource group called Ignite NZ Music. And you can see all the resources here that were deployed with the template. So I've got two virtual machines. Notice one has a zero. One's called Music App 0, and one's called Music App 1. We're going to look at why that is and how to build that. So I didn't specify two VMs in there. I basically said, hey, I want two. And the template, figured that out and deployed the resources correctly in Azure for me. I've got the load balancer. I've got some network interfaces. Again, you can see I've got a 0 and a 1. You can make the assumption that this network interface belongs to this VM and this one belongs to this VM. That's absolutely right. Got public IP address. I've got some SQL stuff going on down here. So a pretty full resource group full of templates. And again, I'm stressing this, but literally right before lunch, I just clicked on a button, deployed this, walked on over here, and it's ready to go. Let's actually take a look at the application itself. So I just clicked on my public IP address resource. We'll talk about this a little bit more as we build it. I'm just going to copy out this IP address. And if I browse to it, bam, there's my application. So I've got this application. The web pieces are running on a VM in Azure. I don't know which one of those two I'm on right now. We could have done some things like, echo back the host and like hit refresh, and you would see it flip back and forth between the two hosts, but it doesn't really matter. If I was to turn off one of those VMs right now, my application would still be up. If I wanted to, I can deploy more VMs behind that load balancer to provide more compute power behind this website. And then if I was to do something like, register myself or like add to cart. So we just put some data into the database. And again, that is running in an Azure SQL database. So again, we don't have SQL deployed to a VM. We're actually using the service within Azure. So that's kind of the end result of what we're going to walk through here. So we're going to create a similar template. I mean, it took me a little while to craft this template. We're going to get close. Now, we don't have a lot of time. We won't actually get to deploying it. I might skip over some things. What I really want to nail down was those fundamentals, parameters, variables, resources, dependencies and functions. So we'll get pretty close to building a template that deploys this exact same thing. Before doing that, I want to talk about, you know, like, what are the ways I can deploy templates? I already said, well, you know, I find that building a template in Visual Studio is optimal. When you're actually doing your work, you can deploy the template directly from Visual Studio. Just kind of like, hey, I want to test this thing out. And it's cool because if you deploy it and it fails, you know, it's like debugging code. You go in and, you know, modify your template, and you can redeploy it straight from where you're at. It'll reuse any of the resources that had been previously successfully deployed, so you don't have to, like, sit through the whole deployment again. So I find it's a pretty optimal experience. With templates, we can do things like deploy them straight from a website. So this is an article that I've got published on Azure.com. It's actually pretty much the same demo. You can see the application that is being deployed looks very similar. I've got a button here, deploy to Azure. Well, this button is just an HTML button that's configured to go out to GitHub, take the JSON, and pass it off to the Azure portal for deployment. So you can see right here, if I click this button, bam, it's asking me for the parameters. I can fill this out, hit go, and my template would start deploying. Let's look at GitHub. I think I've got it here somewhere. So on GitHub, we have this repository called Azure Quick Start Templates. And there is a ton of samples out here. I was just talking to this gentleman up front. It's almost getting like there's too many examples here. It is full of examples of templates. One thing to stress here is that, I mean, there is some development required here. And you know, I think back as I was learning PowerShell or VBScript or whatever it was, one of the things that I used to do, or I still do, is go out and find a sample that's kind of close to what I want to do and, you know, kind of rip it off, rip pieces out of it, look at how they're doing things and learn from existing examples. So while there is a lot of stuff here, I mean, it's like seriously a ton of examples, it's an extremely good asset when learning to build templates. And I'll quite often like, hey, you know, I want to do something with an availability set with a complex configuration. I'll search through this repository. I'll just like start by availability set, or, you know, kind of search on a term that matches what I'm trying to do and then dig through that template. And the cool thing here is if I want to kind of, you know, all right, I see something right here. Let's just find something here. Whatever. I don't even know what this is. Let me find something. IOMAD cluster on Ubuntu. I can come in and look at the JSON. You know, okay, what's going on here? But if I want to see what the end result is, I can just go ahead and deploy it. So again, we've got that deploy button. So you can see here that there's a lot of flexibility. Like once we have these templates created, there's a lot of flexibility in servicing them up for deployments. Finally, because it's not that obvious, I want to show a couple things about the portal, and then we'll get started. I can click New. Let's say I have a template, and I don't have a button. I don't have Visual Studio. I just got a text file with a template in it. In the Azure portal, if you click on New, you can do a template deployment. Click this Edit button, and then just paste your template in here and deploy it straight from the portal. But even more cool, if you don't have a template, but you have a resource group, let's just actually take this one right here, Ignite NZ Music. Down here, we've got this button, if you will, automation script. So if I click on this, what it does is it returns its best interpretation of what a template might look like based on the resources in that resource group. So here's another way, like, hey, I'm trying to do this thing with a template. I don't really know what the structure of the JSON should be, but I know how to manually do it in the portal. You can kind of reverse engineer this stuff. Go build your stuff manually in the portal and then pull the JSON out. I said best effort because it does some silly things, and there's other things that it doesn't capture at the moment, like VM extensions. But it will help you kind of configure some of the JSON on some of the resources when you've got nothing else. All right, so that said, it's kind of like my spiel on, you know, what templates are, how to deploy them, the benefit of them. We've talked about the solution that we're going to build. So at this point, I'm just going to jump in and kind of just start end-to-end, start walking through the deployment of a template. Now, I will admit, not all of this stuff is exciting. There is some stuff where I'm just going to copy and paste some codes, some chunks of code. We're not going to like dig totally deep into the JSON. It's more about, you know, again, talking about those major components of a resource manager template, variables, parameters, resources, talking about workflow, looking at how Visual Studio will help us, and then talking about some of the, since we're here and since we're doing it, talking about some of the dependencies within the actual solution that I'm building and how those look like in a template. But, you know, fair warning, I mean, we are going to be looking at JSON. It's not always the most exciting thing, but I will try to, you know, keep it going and whatnot. So within Visual Studio, first thing I'm going to do is create a new project. And before I do so, if you've got Visual Studio on your machine, you need to also install the Azure SDK to integrate some of the necessary pieces for building these templates. So I'm going to do File, New, Project. And then under Visual C Sharp Cloud, I've got Azure Resource Group. I'll just name this Ignite Demo and click OK. Now it's going to come up and provide me with some like, hey, we've pre-built a couple templates for you. A lot of times if I've like gone to GitHub and I just want to see somebody's, but I want to see it in Visual Studio because there's a lot of benefits here, I'll just start with a blank template, go out to GitHub, copy out the template that I want to look at, paste it into Visual Studio. But in this case, I'm actually going to use one of the pre-created ones. I'm going to come through here, and I'm actually going to grab this one, Windows Server Virtual Machine with Load Balancer. Click OK. While that loads, one other thing to call out here. The demonstration that I'm going to walk through here, we're going to build on Windows Virtual Machines. When I put this demo together, I did pick a .NET Core app because it is cross-platform. If you go to the address that I presented earlier, I've got templates that walk through the same demonstration for both Windows and Linux. In fact, if we look, well, you can just take my word for it. Earlier, when I pulled up the Music Store website, that was actually being hosted from a Linux virtual machine. So, you know, templates are not a Windows, Linux thing. I mean, this is definitely cross-plat. All right, so Visual Studio came up. Here's my template, and we'll see. Yep, it's just a bunch of JSON. Here's where Visual Studio really shines, in my opinion. I've got this JSON Explorer over here on the right-hand side. Earlier, I called out several different important pieces of a template. Parameters, variables, resources, and outputs. It doesn't create an output by default. I'm not going to create one today. Like I said, parameters are our input pieces. So in this case, you know, if we were to deploy this template, we're going to ask for an admin username, an admin password, image SKU, VM size, and number of instances. And then I've got a bunch of variables. Things like subnet reference, load balancer ID. We'll get into those in a little bit. And then I've got a bunch of resources. Storage account, availability set, virtual network, network interface, load balancer, and virtual machines. So all of these resources were added via that template that we chose. So the first thing I'm going to do is really kind of drill into how parameters and variables are used across the resources. And I'm going to just do this through a couple demonstrations. When I'm building a template, I want to ask the user that's deploying my template for as little information as possible. So you know what? For the sake of this demonstration, like, I don't want to give my user the option for an image SKU. I just want to use Windows Server 2016 Data Center. So I'm actually going to come into this parameter and copy out this name and then delete my parameter. So parameter is gone. But I still need to reference that somewhere in this template. So I'm going to come into my variables section and come down here and just create a variable with the name of image skew and then get the skew that I want. So 2016 data center. So what I did there is I deleted the parameter and recreated it as a variable. The user will not be asked this. You know, they won't be asked, what do you want to use? That said, when I did that, I actually broke my template, though, because the template is expecting a variable. So if I actually search through my template, we can see down here, and again, here's where Visual Studio really shines. I did a search, it found image skew, and you can see over here that it highlighted the resource that I'm working on. So Visual Studio gives you kind of this slick template navigation, like, hey, I know I need to do something to my VNet. Click on my VNet over here, and it's going to go and highlight the chunk of JSON. So it's much easier, in my opinion, than like kind of going line through JSON, because this JSON can get pretty thick pretty quickly. And then we've got this IntelliSense stuff. So notice here that in my virtual machine, I've got this skew property, and it's looking for a parameter of image skew. Well, I deleted the parameter and made a variable. So to fix this, all I need to do is change this to variables. Bam, and you can see that one, the squiggly line went away. And I was going to do some other ones, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to leave it at that. If I was deploying this, I would probably take out this VM size and just build a standardized VM size. But right away there, you know, the thing I wanted to demonstrate was how parameters are used and how variables are used. All right, so the next thing, let's take a look at this virtual machine resource. See what's going on with this. And again, I'm not going to go through every single line of this code, but there are a couple things I want to call out here. So we can see the type of resource is Microsoft.compute virtual machine. It's got a name of concat. So right here we're seeing something, concat. What is this concat? This is a function. This is one of those template functions that I talked about earlier. And the function basically takes two strings of data and puts them together. So in this case, I'm concatting the variable VM prefix with this copy index thing. Okay, so I can actually look at a variable VM prefix. So it's going to be my Windows VM. Well, you know what? I don't like that name. I don't want that to be the name of my VM. So while I'm here, I'm just going to change that. Music VM. So now when I deploy this, my VM will be named Music VM and then whatever this value is. So let's talk about this copy index thing, because this is important, and this is where we get like, you know, this is where that complex piece comes in. This is like Hello World plus plus. So what is copy index? Well, I talked about how we're going to be deploying or build a template that has the ability to deploy multiple VMs. In fact, you can see we've got a parameter that says number of instances. And the description is number of VM instances to be created behind internal load balancer. So I want this thing to be flexible. I want to be able to put in 2 and deploy 2 or 10 and put in 10. Well, each one of those VMs is going to have a unique name. So what this copy index function does is it takes kind of the loop iteration that the deployment is on and takes that number. So for instance, it's going to play the first VM and give it the name of Music VM 0. The next one's going to be Music VM 1, Music VM 2. And you can actually see right here in the JSON, it built this copy thing. So copy. Basically what it's saying is I'm going to make this many copies of the VM. And that number is coming from this parameter number of instances, which we see up here. So basically, this copy index is just a number that represents the iteration of the deployment that's happening. And you'll see this all over the place. So for instance, if we look at network interfaces, the name of this network interface, again, we've got the concat function, a variable, network interface name prefix, and copy index. So basically, it's just a function that keeps everything sorted, gives everything a unique name, such that everything kind of sticks together. Pardon me? I don't know. But if that's a concern, I can definitely help you look into it. All right, cool. So that's, we've taken a look at variables, parameters, kind of one of the resources that was built for us. But let's go ahead and add another piece of compute. So I talked about we're going to have VMs and SQL. But there's no SQL here yet. So let's go ahead and pull SQL in. Now, I can certainly go out to GitHub, to that template thing, find an instance of SQL, and copy and paste JSON around. But I don't want to do that. I mean, it doesn't. If you're building templates, you're going to get your hands dirty in JSON. There's just no way around it. And if I can minimize that, I want to minimize that. And again, highlighting the value of Visual Studio and the Azure SDK, it's as simple as right-clicking on resources, add new resource, and then finding the resource that I want to add. In this case, SQL Server. And I'm going to give it a name of Music Store SQL, click Add. So you can see right away, bam, it dropped my SQL Server resource into my template along with a SQL Server firewall, which I won't get into in this session. So pretty easily you can see another one of the benefits here. Add resource. I can, through a wizard, add stuff to the JSON. And like I said, you're not going to avoid having to make manual modifications of the JSON, but you can pick up some stuff using Visual Studio. That said, I will call it out that not everything you want to add to a resource or to a template is available from this wizard. I'll show you an example in a little bit. So that is a shame, but it gets you most of the way there. And really, that's all we're going to do with SQL. We'll talk about kind of pre-creating the database here in a little bit. All right. So we've added the compute pieces. We've added the SQL piece. We've talked about the load balancer and kind of the copy index function. Let's now talk about the availability set. So there's really nothing for us to configure here. But what an availability set does, and I'm actually going to jump back to my slides here just really quickly. Actually, let's talk about the load balancer a little bit. When adding a load balancer to a template, it is kind of what I would consider one of the more, from this template, one of the more complex pieces. There's a lot of things going on with a load balancer that we need to create. The cool thing is we can create all these in the template. The first thing is the load balancer rule. What a load balancer rule is it is the port that I want to expose from the VM, in this case 80, such that as my traffic comes in on port 80, it's load balanced across all the other VMs on port 80. Simple enough. What's not quite so obvious is what a NAT rule is, and we'll add this to the template here in just a moment. Before I kind of explain what it is, let me talk about the issue. Let's say I have an issue on this middle VM here, and I want a remote desktop into it, or I want to connect to it somehow. Well, if I was to also load balance port 3389, which was the RDP port, if I RDP'd to my public IP address, which is the address exposed to the internet, I don't know which one of those VMs I'm going to be remoting into. It's going to load balance me across them. So we need some way to kind of make a static route, if you will. And that is what a NAT rule is. And we're also going to here use that copy index function. So within the template, I'm going to say, hey, I want port 3389 to be mapped to port 5000 on the first VM, 5001 on the second VM, and 5002 on the third VM, such that if I need to get to that third VM, I RDP to the public IP address, semicolon 5502 or 5002, and bam, I've got a static route to that VM. So that's a NAT rule. Finally, the load balancer probe, what this is that load balancer is going to constantly check all those VMs and make sure they're up. And if one goes down, it's going to stop serving traffic to it. And it just does that through a simple kind of tickle of a port. And these are all things that we define in the template. And what an availability set is, I'm just going to keep this very simple. It basically says, hey, I want to make sure that this application is available. So I don't want all these VMs on the same rack. I mean, yes, we're dealing with Azure here, but we're still dealing with, you know, a data center. It's just somebody else owns it. So I don't want all these VMs in the same rack, because if the power goes down to that rack, all my VMs are down. I want to make sure that my VMs are spread across separate, you know, units of failure, across different racks, across different power supplies, across different networking components. So that's what an availability set does. All right. So we kind of looked at the load balance. Well, let's look at the availability set first. It was just added into the template via Visual Studio. Nothing to do there. However, let's look at the load balancer. There's quite a bit of stuff here. And it actually just by default configured port 80 for us. But one of the things it didn't do is the NAT rule. And the reason I'm going to do this is, the reason I'm doing this part of the demo is because this is one of those unfortunate areas where I don't have the ability to add a NAT rule via Visual Studio. So this is something where I had to go out and kind of like, all right, I got to find the JSON structure for a NAT rule. I do work on the documentation team. This is something that we are addressing. Like, how do we, I mean, there's so many, you know, variables here and capabilities. How do we represent this stuff in documentation? But right now, kind of one of the best ways to do this is to go through those samples in GitHub, find one that's similar to what you need, and kind of work from there. So I need to build that NAT rule, which is the piece that routes my traffic to one of those VMs. So I have the JSON ready to go, and it's its own resource. So I'm going to go ahead and put it somewhere. I'm going to click on this load balancer and just drop it right into the load balancer. Bam. So now I've got a load balancer NAT rule. So again, biggest takeaway there was that, all right, I've got this resource. I can't add it through Visual Studio. I've got to go find the JSON. I've got to work on the JSON. I'm going to have to troubleshoot the JSON if I don't have it right. And right in here, you can see my backend port 3389. My front-end port is going to be 5,000, and then I'm using the copy index function to increment that for each VM that I deploy. So again, this is dynamic. If I do 20, it's going to create 20 NAT rules for me pointing to one of the 20 VMs. Now, that said, I want to make sure that I want to highlight this. This is another one of those important features that I talked about, and that is the dependencies. So I want to make sure that my network resource is created before I create this NAT rule. So I'm going to build a dependency. And let's just take a look at what a dependency looks like. And I'm sorry, I said network resource, but I meant network interface. So if you look at any resource within this template, you're going to see this depends on section. And this is the section where you define dependencies. What I'm saying here is that this resource, this network card, depends on the NAT rule being created. And I'm not going to get into the semantics of the JSON, but just know that in this case, I need to add a dependency on that particular NAT rule. It's this section where I find myself doing the most troubleshooting. When I'm building these templates, it's like, man, I know my JSON is solid. Like, I've got no squiggly lines. You know, if I break it down, everything deploys independently. But when I deploy this as a template, I'm getting these failures. And a lot of times it has to do just, you know, with a dependent piece not existing, you know, as I go into my deployment. So later on, we'll actually take a look at a VM script extension, which pre-creates the database. As I was building this, and this is a more solid example, as I was building this template, I found myself like troubleshooting something. It's like, man, why is this failing? I've got my SQL database there. I've got my VM script extension. And if you look at these templates, they are not linear. So Azure does not deploy this template from top to bottom. You can have your resources in any order you want. It just starts deploying resources. And it uses this depends on feature to kind of control, you know, deploy this one before that one. Well, when I was building this, I was trying to pre-create the database using a PowerShell script before my SQL resource had fully been created. So obviously, it's going to fail. There's no SQL for me to create a database in. So that's where this depends on piece came in. All right, so we added a resource. And again, you know, the goal here isn't really to dig too much into the JSON, rather kind of look at some of the theories behind it. So we've deployed, you know, we've added the compute pieces. We've looked at some functions. We've looked at variables. We've looked at parameters. We've manually added a NAT rule. Again, the big takeaway there is that, you know, sometimes you're going to have to get your hands dirty in the JSON. Let's now talk about access and security. So in order for this application to be available on the internet, I need to give it a public-facing address. That doesn't happen by default. We've got a network, we've got some network cards, but in Azure, a public IP address is its own resource. So I need to give this application a public IP address. Fortunately, I can do that through the wizard here. And there we go, public IP address. And I'll just name it pip. However, there is an issue with the wizard. It wants to add the public IP address to a network interface, which is fine if I was exposing one virtual machine to the internet, so VM, network interface, public IP address, but I've got a network load balancer in here. So to do this, I would need to actually come in and make some modifications. Now, due to a lack of time here, I'm actually not going to go make these modifications. But what I would do is I would literally go into my network interface, find the public IP address, remove it out of here. Again, Visual Studio is cool. It shows me I've got an extra comma here. And then I would go add the reference to the public IP address on the load balancer. And it's just I've got some code here. I can copy it out. Again, I've got the references out on GitHub. But I won't go through those exercises because the next piece is pretty cool, and that's a VM extensions piece, which I want to talk about at great depth. And then the next thing, the very last thing I would need to do on as far as access and security is I want to make sure this thing is secure. And so we've got something called a network security group. And it, unfortunately, again, this is one of those resources that we cannot add through the add new resource. Fortunately, however, though, most templates out there are going to include some reference to a network security group, so there's a bunch of pieces out there for it. So I'm just going to go and find my network interface. Bam, add my network security group. NSG front. And you can see what it's doing is basically opening up ports. So I'm going to allow traffic on port 80 in and allow traffic on port 3389 so I can RDP in. I might even take that out someday because this, you know, once I've got the template running, this thing is pretty solid. And I, you know, I don't really need to RDP into these VMs very often. Just as a side note, I think it is worth noting, if you don't have a network security group, it's kind of equivalent of having no firewall, meaning, you know, all the ports are open. Now, you've still got the Windows firewall there, but bottom line is network security groups are pretty important. Cool. And there's, you know, I'd want to build some dependencies on the network security group. I'd want to make sure my network was created before I create a network security group and et cetera, et cetera. So I spent a lot of time in my demos. I've got 10 minutes here left. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything important. So we talked about that, access and security. All right, so I've got 10 minutes. I want to talk about application deployment. So what we've done so far is really just infrastructure pieces. Compute, you know, virtual machine SQL, network load balancers, availability sets. I mean, we got just the infrastructure pieces, but we haven't talked about an application at all. And what we saw was, you know, I've got an actual .NET Core application running. I've got a music store application. I've got data. I've got stuff in there. So how does, you know, my template handle that? You know, certainly, you know, I don't have anything in my JSON that's going to deploy an application. Well, the answer to that is something called VM extensions. I'm going to do a little bit about it here. I've got a session tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. A session, something like PowerShell, beyond the PowerShell module. The session is just about everything PowerShell in Azure, including what I'm about to show you right now, which is a VM extension. And what a VM extension is basically, it's the ability to run scripts against a VM in Azure. It sounds pretty simple. It's like, oh, running scripts. We've been running scripts forever. But it does it in a cool way. You don't have to like open ports to do it. What happens is there's a VM agent in VMs by default in Azure. And basically, you tell that VM agent, like, hey, here's a script that I want to run. It goes out and copies that script locally to the VM and then runs it on the VM. So you don't have to open up ports. You don't have to like worry about authentication. It's just really, it's built into the system. And it's cool because you can do it in existing VMs, or you can integrate it into templates. So it is one of the things that takes us from deploying infrastructure to configuring infrastructure. So what I'm going to show you is the custom script extension, which deploys a PowerShell script. There's custom script extensions for Linux. There's DSC extensions, which I'll demo tomorrow. There's a bunch of extensions that do things like configure antivirus, lots of open source stuff, Chef. So it's kind of like the piece that takes us from deploying infrastructure to deploying applications. So before taking a look at the VM extension, let's take a look at the script itself. So kind of my development workflow here was, all right, deploy my infrastructure. The template looks good. You know, I'm getting stuff out there. Now develop a script that does what I want, you know, to configure this machine, test it out on the machines. All right, that looks good. Now integrate it into the template. Now I'm not going to go through all of this, and it's, you know, it's kind of sloppy. But I'm configuring the Windows firewall. I'm installing IIS. I'm installing .NET Core SDK. I'm downloading my application. So I actually have the music store binaries that I need to get onto the VM. I'm pre-creating the database in SQL, and then I'm configuring IIS. But the big takeaway here is that I have a PowerShell script that configures my VM. I have it stored somewhere. In this case, I have it on GitHub. You can put it in Azure Blob Storage. You can put it in anywhere that has kind of a REST or an endpoint or a URI that I can access using REST. So, cool. I've got my infrastructure, I've got a script. Now how do I integrate all that? And I'm just gonna do this pretty quickly. So add new resource. And I can see custom script extension for Windows. I'll give it a name. Config app. And so you can see kind of nested in my virtual machine resource, I have this new resource of type extension. And if you can see down here, I've got, let me create some room here. I've got a file, URIS, which is just, it's just asking me, hey, where's the script that you wanna deploy? I'm actually just going to modify that. Got the wrong thing there. Not quite sure what happened there. All right, so I'm giving it the path to my script, and then the command that I want to execute. And this is pretty cool. I want to highlight a couple things here. All right. So run this script with this command. Not really of concern, but it created a couple parameters here that I don't need, so I'll delete those. All right. So I've got my compute pieces. I've got my script. I've added the VM custom script extension. And one thing that wasn't obvious to me when I started doing this the first time is that this script, I need to provide some parameters to this script. I need to, in order to pre-create this database, I need the admin username and password for the SQL instance. I need to provide that to the script. Well, I'm consuming that username and password via a parameter when this template is deployed. So if you actually look at the command that I'm running here, I'm actually using an Azure resource manager template function, concat. So the command I'm running is PowerShell, execution policy unrestricted, file name, there's the file, dash user, and here you can see that I'm passing to it the parameter, which is the username that's being taken in when the user starts the template. Same thing for the password. And then look here, SQL Server, I need the name of the server. I'm getting this from a variable. So again, I'm executing a script using the custom script extension, but I'm taking data from the template from the user at deployment time to do so. So I ran through quite a bit of stuff there. I mean, we only had an hour. It's a pretty surface level. But you know, my intentions there were to kind of show you know, how these templates are completely flexible. We have the ability to not just deploy a VM, but deploy services or applications across multiple tiers of Azure services. Taken data from a user, use that to manipulate our services. Again, the big kind of template take subjects that I wanted to highlight was parameters, variables, resources, dependencies. I mean, that's a big one. Like I said, as I'm developing these, I spend most of my troubleshooting time troubleshooting dependencies, and then functions. We do have documentation on functions. I kind of just highlighted them. There's a bunch of different functions that we can specify inside of a template beyond to upper, to lower, copy index, concat, some of the ones that I saw. So it's not a wizard-driven thing. Like I said, even though Visual Studio has good tooling, you're going to spend some time mucking around in JSON, understanding the structure, troubleshooting functions, troubleshooting JSON. I've got 2 minutes left here. Hope that was valuable, and I'll definitely take questions if you've got them. If we run past 2 minutes, we can step out in the hall. So thanks for coming, and shoot your questions my way. Any questions? Great. Thanks for coming.